So before we jump into Masechtas Chulin, which is all about, at least the beginning of Perek HaKol Shechtin, is about how to shecht an animal in order for us to eat meat, I first wanted to discuss, is there a mitzvah to eat meat? What is our relationship with meat? You know, in Abigail's, I think they have the carnivore's delight. You know, that I don't know when that became a Jewish midah, but okay, we have somewhat of a connection with meat. What exactly is our relationship, the Jewish perspective on meat? Certainly in our times, it's something that's very relevant when vegetarianism is veganism, whatever, is on the uptick. So what exactly is our relationship, is our perspective on eating meat in general? So we start at the beginning, literally the beginning, not of Beis of Masechtas Chulin, but the beginning of creation. Where the Gemara says, Masechtas Sanhedrin, commenting the Pasuk in Parashas, Bereishis, where the Pasuk says, Lochem yehiyeh la'ochlo cholchayas ha'aretz. The Pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam Arishon, or he planted in the world many different plants and vegetables and things, and it was for you to eat, of course, to the exclusion of the Eitz Hadas, which Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat, from all the other things in Gan Eden wasn't allowed to eat. And then the pasuk continues, "Lochochayas haaretz," you know, into all the fish of the sea, they should also eat these, you know, this vegetation. So the Gemara infers from the pasuk that you and the animals can eat the vegetation, but that's all you can eat. You can't eat the animals themselves. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Adam HaRishon lo hutel lo basar l'achila, he wasn't allowed to eat meat. D'chsiv yolachem yela achla, the vegetation is there for you to eat. L'chol chayas haaretz, and they can also eat it. B'lo chayas haaretz lachem, but you can't eat them, right? You can eat the vegetation, but you can't eat the chayas haaretz. You can't eat the other animals of the world, of the land. You're not allowed to eat meat. Ukishabo Noyach, b'nei Noyach, hitalehem after the mabul. Of course, the Noyach was allowed to eat meat. Shenemar ki yerek esev nosati lochem esko. Because the pasuk says, just like the vegetation you're allowed to eat previously, so too now you're allowed to eat the meat as well. Why was Noyach permitted to eat meat and not Adam HaRishon? So Bar Brunel has an interesting approach in Parshas Noyach. He says, because it was not pasha, nothing else to eat. What happened after the mabul? Right, everything was inundated. So what was there to eat? There was no trees that were producing. Obviously, there was a little bit of time when the land dried up until Noach came out. But nothing had time to grow. So what else did you expect him to eat if not from animals or from fish? What else was he supposed to eat? So it was because of the extenuating circumstances that existed after the mabul. That's why Noach was allowed to eat meat. The Ramban says a somewhat different approach on Chumash. Ramban says something more fundamental. He says, no, because they all owed their lives to Noach. See, Adam HaRishon and the animals of the earth, they all came into existence around, you know, on the same day. So Adam HaRishon didn't have the right to eat them. But after Noach saved them, he was there, the one, otherwise they would have been killed during the mabul, so they owed their lives to Noach. So therefore, Noach kind of, you know, acquired them. And he earned the right to eat the fish, the animals of the world, the fish of the sea, by virtue of the fact that he had saved them during the mabul. Okay, so Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat meat. Noach, of course, was allowed to eat meat. The heter bosa to Noach. The problem is that the Rishonim already raised. The Gemara says earlier in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara is discussing the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach and deriving all of them. So, of course, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is Gezel. Mikol Eitz HaGan Teichel. The Adam HaRishon was allowed to eat from the trees of Gan Eden, but below Mina Gezel, that which was designated for you, but not something that doesn't belong to you. And the Pasuk says, Mikol Eitz HaGan Achol Tochel. You should certainly eat from the trees of the Gan Eden, Achol Tochel, V'loi Eiver Minachai. And not ripping a limb off of an animal and eating it. So what is one of the first, you know, seven mitzvahs that was given to Adam HaRishon was Eiver Minachai. The problem with this is, how could it be that one of the seven mitzvahs was given to Adam HaRishon is Eiver Minachai? He wasn't allowed to eat meat. Now you could ask Gezel also, right? Who Adam HaRishon was not allowed to steal? Who was he stealing from? No one else existed yet. So the answer is, okay, when someone else will exist, when the other people will be created, you can't steal from them. Even though, no, right, everything belonged to him, but maybe other Eitz Hadas didn't belong to him. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Same question about
who's he killing? Yeah. Okay. But when other people will exist,
Shvichas Damim will be prohibited. But what about Eivor Min HaChai? He was never allowed to eat meat in the first place. How could it be prohibited to eat Eivor Min HaChai? Eivor Min HaChai sounds like to the exclusion of meat which was properly slaughtered. You're not allowed to rip a limb off a live animal. He wasn't allowed to eat meat even if it was killed in a proper fashion. So why did it have to prohibit us to eat Eivor Min HaChai? That's Tosis' question over there. Look at Tosis Beis in the bracket. It says Tosis, come on. How could it be a prohibition of Eivor Min HaChai? He wasn't allowed to eat meat. Hainu lahamis. He wasn't allowed to kill the animal. Velecho, and to eat it. If it died on its own, then you would be allowed to eat it. As opposed to Eivor Min HaChai, I don't know how a limb fell off a live animal, but if a limb would fall off a live animal, he wouldn't be allowed to eat it. As opposed to meat, you know, an animal that just died of natural causes or, you know, whatever, because one animal killed another animal, so Adam HaRishon wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So he was allowed to eat meat according to Tosfos. So we have to readjust what we said, right? We have to modify it. We said Adam HaRishon wasn't allowed to eat meat, not so fast. According to Tosfos, he was allowed to eat meat. He just wasn't allowed to kill animals to obtain that meat. But if the animal died of natural causes, one animal killed another animal, he would have been permitted to eat the meat. That's Tosfos Shita. The Ran in Yad Ramah asked the same question back on Sanhedrin and Testament Beis and give a different answer. He says, Vakasha, not as satisfying, says the Ran, Vakasha, Dim Kain Lama Hutzchu Kan Isra Bosa La Adam. Why do we need to, you know, how could it be that if Adam HaRishon was prohibited in eating meat, why do we need an Isra of Eivor Min HaChai to be derived from the Pasuk of Achol Tochel, from this you should eat, and not Eivor Min HaChai? Yesh Loimar. Says the Ran, the lashon achol tochel ain't a minyan mefurashes al basa lagamrei. From Eivor Min HaChai, we cannot have derived a prohibition to eat meat. There was never a prohibition to eat meat. It was not permitted, but it wasn't really prohibited. Well, now what are we on YU? Now we're splitting hairs. It's not permitted, but it's not really prohibited. What does that mean? Well, so the Yad Ramah fleshes it out a little bit better because it's a unique property of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. What is the punishment for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach ever? Anybody know? For Ben Noach steals. What's the punishment? Kefal? Karen? What? Misa! Oh, you go, Val. He gets killed. The punishment for all the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is Misa. But that's if it's a prohibition. If it just wasn't permitted, right? The Pasuk says, you know, Adam HaRishon, you really shouldn't eat meat. But is this an alashon? Is this a phrase? Is it formulated as a prohibition? Not necessarily. So then it will not necessarily carry the punishment of Misa. Eivor Min HaChai, since it was formulated as a prohibition, that will carry with it the punishment of Misa. So look at the Yad Ramah. It says a little bit more clear. But then he peruka the key. Aminon de lo huta lo basal achila. When we said Adam HaRishon in the second bracket of Yerois Aleph, when we said Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat basar, loved it, it's davuye iluye. It was not prohibited to him, but feirish kamrinan, what we mean is explicitly, elalo hutalo. It wasn't permitted to him. Meaning this is not on the menu. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily prohibited. Well, what's the difference? Right, coming in. The mistama kol nevrosh ha'ibolum hayasuruslo. Everything was not necessarily on the menu. You can't just walk into your master's pantry and take whatever you would like. You need permission. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did not give Adam HaRishon to eat from the animals. That which was permitted to him was permitted. Meat that was not permitted was not permitted. So it was not permitted. Meal, however, as hure mias lo azhare, he was not prohibited. Only to rip a limb off a live animal. Vanafkamina, what difference does it make if it's not permitted versus being prohibited? Demai das hare iluye mikto iluye. That which he was prohibited would carry with it the death penalty. Da Shamin on the Rabbi Yehuda Gufe da Amaleel, because Rabbi Yehuda says earlier in Masechta Sanhedrin, Al Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach Neherag. What's the punishment for violating the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Misa. Aval Maid lo Izhar Iluye lo Mikto Iluye. That which he was not prohibited from, There's no onus of punishment of misa. Okay, so we have a contradiction between two gemaras. Masechta Sanhedrin. One gemara tells us Adam Harishon was not allowed to eat meat. If he wasn't allowed to eat meat, we have a problem with another gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Why then does the Torah prohibit Adam Harishon from eating Avram and Achai, whipping a limb off a live animal? You're not allowed to eat meat at all. Tosfos says no. Let's modify our original statement. Adam Harishon was entitled to eat meat as long as he didn't kill the animal. If it happened by itself, it was permitted. But even Avram and Achai, that happened by itself, meaning if one animal ripped a limb off another animal while it was alive, Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat that. All right, that's Tosfos Shita. But then according to Tosfos, Adam HaRishon was actually allowed to eat meat. The Ran, the Yavramah, say, no, what we meant initially was Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat meat. That doesn't necessarily mean it's prohibited or carried with the punishment of Misa. Avram and Achai was coming to teach Adam HaRishon, you're right, you're not allowed to eat meat, it's not on the menu. If you do it, I don't know what the consequences will be. You know, every kid always asks, but what if I do it anyway? Okay, we don't know what the consequences will be. But if you eat Avram and Achai, that's a punishment of Misa. So it was a different in terms of its severity. But you're right, in fact, both were prohibited. Meat was prohibited, but was less severe, just wasn't on the menu, so it's not right to take it. But there's no punishment of Misa. Avram and Achai was to instill a punishment of Misa. The Rambam seems to go in an entirely different approach. The Rambam says Avram and Achai was not prohibited to Adam HaRishon. It was only prohibited to who? To Noach. Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat meat. How could there be a prohibition of Avram and Achai? Look at the Rambam. The Rambam here describes the development of the Tarryag Mitzvahs in an astounding fashion. We don't have time to explore it in full. But the Rambam, this Rambam is a very important Rambam. The Rambam says over here, Perek Tes, folks, Malach, Malach Aleph. Al Shisha Dvarm Nitztav Adam HaRishon. What was Adam HaRishon commanded on? Six mitzvahs. Al Avodah Zarah, Al Birchas Hashem, cursing Hashem, Al Shvichas Damim, murder, Gili Arayis, illicit relationships, Val HaGezel, Val HaDinim. And of course, to adjudicate matters of monetary issues. Okay, Adam HaRishon was commanded on six mitzvahs. And these are obvious. Why does the Rambam have to say these are obvious? Because who told all of humanity that they have to keep these things? Who came and informed, the guy living in Greenland, right? At the tip of the Arctic Circle. Hey, by the way, buddy, seven mitzvahs you got to keep, and if you don't, there'll be a day of reckoning. He's going to get up to Bezin Shomayla on the day, Racham Evesim Shana, and he's going to say, I never heard of these things. What? Moshe? Who? Moshe? What? What? Torah Shmara? I never heard of this. How can you hold me responsible? So therefore the Rambam says, no, Hadas Notalahen. You should have figured this out on your own. This is a baseline morality for all of humanity. Okay. Fine, these are the six basic rules of being a human being. What was added to Noach? Avram and Achai. Even though you're allowed to eat meat, don't rip a limb off a live animal. Nimtzu sheva mitzvahs. Okay, Noach got seven mitzvahs. Then, says the Rambam, Kenai davar b'chol omad Avram. That was what the status of the world was. Status quo until Avram Avinu came. Right, 10 generations later, Ba'avram v'nitztava yeser o'elu b'mila. He was commanded in Bris Mila, who was Pal Shachris, Yitzchak, Kethed Mincha, Yaakov and Mariv, until we got to Moshe Rabbeinu, who completed the number of 613. And that's how we arrived. This is the short version of how we arrived at the 613 mitzvahs. But what's significant here? Many things. But of the many significant things that are significant in this Rambam, one of them is, who was the first to be commanded in Avram and Achai? Adam HaRishon or Noach? Only Noach. Not Adam HaRishon. Yeah, but the problem is usually the problem with the Rambam, the Gemara says otherwise, right? The Gemara says, where is the prohibition of Avram and Achai derived from? From the pasuk by Adam HaRishon. Look back on his base. Mikol Eitz Hagan, Achol Tocheo. Below Avram and Achai. This was given to Adam HaRishon. How could the Rambam say the first one to be prohibited, Avram and Achai, was Noach? It was already given to Adam HaRishon, no?
Why wouldn't eating from the Eitz Hadaa be considered one of the things that Hashem commanded not to?
Keep that in mind. Excellent. But what about my question? You asked your question. But what about my question? How could the Rambam say Noach was the first one to be commanded, Avram and Achai? It's the Rambam passing by Adam HaRishon. So the answer is, as is usually the answer for the Rambam, there's another Maimar Chazal that says otherwise. The Rambam is not passing like a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Rambam is passing like a Medrash. Look over here, it says the Medrash. Oh, he's Dawud. Adam HaRishon Shohuta Labasa Taiva. Lo Huzar, Evi Menachai. Adam HaRishon was not commanded, was not permitted to eat meat. Was not prohibited. Evi Menachai. Aval B'nei Noach Shohuta Labasa Taiva. B'nei Noach were permitted to eat meat. Huzaru Al Evi Menachai. They were prohibited. They were commanded in Evi Menachai. So who was the first one in truth to be commanded in Evi Menachai, says the Medrash? Noach. It makes no sense for Adam HaRishon to be prohibited in Evi Menachai. He wasn't allowed to eat meat. Like all the Rishonim were screaming. So the Rambam says, you're right. You're right. The Rambam's answer is perhaps the best answer. It doesn't work with the Gemara. But the Rambam has another Maimar Chazal which says otherwise. Evi Menachai was not given to Adam HaRishon. Taisa says it was given to him. And even if the limb fell off on his own, even though he wasn't allowed to kill animals for meat. But if it happened by itself, it was allowed. But not Evi Menachai. The Ran Yad Ramah said, no, he was prohibited eating meat, but there was no prohibition. Evi Menachai was a prohibition, which he got killed for. The Rambam says, no. Evi Menachai only was introduced by Noach. And what works fantastically for the Rambam? What do we call it? Sheva Mitzvahs who? Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Oh, that works for the Rambam. Who was the first one to be commanded in the seven Mitzvahs? Noach. Six were given to Adam HaRishon. Who brought us to number seven that we asked for humanity, general population, right? Of Gentiles, Ad HaYom HaZeh? Noach. For the other Rishonim, it should have been Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Adam. Why don't we say Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Adam? Why do we call it Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach?
Not as catchy.
Is it? If we'd be more, you know, accustomed to it. Huh?
Then why wouldn't they include Noach himself?
It's B'nei, so
like the
sound of... Yeah, it means from the Echanan. So I think the answer is what you raised, what Benji raised. The Rama already says, it's not my answer. The Rama asked this question. He says, why don't we call Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Adam? So the Rama says, because how many mitzvahs did Adam HaRishon really have? Eight. He had eight. What did he have also? Not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So it would be Shmona Mitzvahs B'nei Adam, but that doesn't apply to humanity for all eternity. It only applies seven. Who was the first one to be commanded in seven? Noach. Because he didn't have the prohibition to eat from the Eitz Hadas.
So if the Rama says that Adam would have eight technically, then he would have seven.
Who would have seven?
Everyone else would have seven. Because
right.
The only one that Adam,
so you're saying it shouldn't have been B'nei Noach, it should have been B'nei Shem. B'nei Hevo and Kayin, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good hara. Okay. I tried to help you out. I thought you had a good hara. But you're saying, you asked the kasha on your own territory. All right. Yeah. Anyway, but that's what the Rambam says. Okay, fine. So Rambam told us that, in fact, the Yisur of Evi Menachai was only given to B'nai Noach. Okay, but the basic facts emerge. What happened? Meat was prohibited to Adam HaRishon. Then it became permitted, generally speaking, became permitted to Noach. Why was it permitted to Noach? We gave two explanations. One, because there was nothing else to eat, Poshit. Nowadays, if we have something else to eat, so then why do we continue to eat meat? All right. So that's why the Ramban's answer is a little bit more satisfying, and that is that we are permitted to eat meat because the animals owe us their lives, since Noach is the one who saved them during the Mabul. What about subsequently? So of course we're allowed to continue to eat meat, and that's what the Pasuk says in this week's parasha, Hebra. It's in this week's parasha where the Pasuk says, Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'chal tabasar. No, not that Pasuk. Because it says in this week's parasha, they are allowed to eat meat whenever you would like. Right? Where is it? Somewhere in Parak Yudbeis. Rak b'chol tavas nafshecha v'chol basar. Where is the pasuk? Is that it? Yeah. Tizbach v'chol tavasak v'chol tavasak v'chol tavasak. Yeah. You can eat meat whenever you would like. Parak Yudbeis, pasuk tizbach. Okay, we can eat meat. We're allowed to continue to eat meat. But is that a mitzvah to eat meat? Is there a mitzvah to eat meat? Or it's a heter to eat meat? Is there a mitzvah to eat meat? Is there ever a mitzvah to eat meat? So the pasuk here says, if you desire meat, then you're permitted to eat meat. It doesn't say you're... Oh, no, it's over here. Oh, pasuk chav, here it is. Ki yarech v'ashom v'kechaz gevurcha kasher divralach. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expand your boundaries, as he has spoken to you, and you will say you want to eat meat,
You have a desire to eat meat, b'chol avas nafshecha tochal basar. You can fulfill that desire and eat meat. Oh, so do we have a mitzvah? This is a heter to eat meat. Do we have a mitzvah to eat meat? So perhaps one time that we have a mitzvah to eat meat is the basar hakarbonis. But is that really true? Do we have a mitzvah? Now what happens when you bring a carbon? Part of the carbon is given to the kohen. He eats, and then part of some carbonus is given to the back to the bala carbon, the Israel who brought the carbon in the first place, for him to eat from the carbon, right? So chatas and anasham, only the kachim, which bring about an atonement, only the kohen eats. And the pasuk says about that in Parashas Tetzaveh that ichu osam asher kupar bahem, you eat them, and it brings about an atonement. By eating, the kohen gives an atonement to the Yisraelim. That's kachay kachim, chatas and asham. They bring about a kapara, bring about an atonement. There's no portion that's given back to the bala carbon, to the original owner of the carbon. If it's kachim kalim, carbon pesach, shlomim, I volunteer to bring a carbon, so the kohen gets part, and I get part back. And then, of course, you have two days and one night to eat it. It has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, of course, the whole rules of eating kachim. Is that a mitzvah to do it? Do you have to eat the meat? What if I'm a vegetarian? And at the time of the Makom HaMikdash, I'll be a vegetarian. Do you have to eat meat? It's important theologically for us to understand. So look over here, the Rambam writes in Perek Yud of Hilchos Maaseh Karbanos Halacha Aleph, Achilas Hachatos VeHa'asham. Now those are Kodshei Kodshim that bring about an atonement. Mitzvah Saseh. It is a mitzvah to eat them. Shenemar. So the Kohen cannot be a vegetarian. Because by eating it, he'll bring about a kapara. Ha-kohanim, ochlim, ubailim, miskaprim. By the Kohanim eating the meat, there's no impossible carbon, right? By the Kohen eating the meat, the bailim achieve an atonement. V'hu adin l'shar kachim sh'ochlim asen ha-kohanim sh'chilosin mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Now what's notable here in the Rambam? What's notable? Just the Kohanim. Sounds like it's only the Kohanim. So already the Ramban jumps all over the Rambam. And the Ramban, in his list of mitzvahs, the Rambam forgot to count in his count of Taryag mitzvahs. He says to the Rambam, you forgot to count a lot of eatings that we are obligated to eat. The Rambam discusses Ma'aser Sheni, which of course is in the certain years of the Shemitah cycle. You have to set aside a second Ma'aser, which you redeem onto a coin, you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you use the money to buy food in Yerushalayim, and you eat it there. So Rambam says it's a mitzvah to separate Ma'aser Sheni. He never says it's a mitzvah to eat in Yerushalayim. The Rambam never mentions it's a mitzvah to eat Truma. It's a mitzvah to separate Truma, give it to the Kohen. He never says it's a mitzvah to eat it. The Rambam discusses Karbanos, and he never says it's a mitzvah to eat them. So the Ramban disagrees. He says, "Ki achilas hakachim lebailim." You should have counted all of these. Ki achilas hakachim lebailim uleroy laochlan asay. It is a mitzvah asay. Not only can the kohen not be a vegetarian, but everybody who brings a carbon cannot be a vegetarian. Which means everybody who brings a carbon pesach, which by the way means every Jew. Ukemoshu asay lekohanim bechatos uvashamos kachu lebailim bechelak haroy lahem. It's a mitzvah asay to eat the meat. So the truth of the matter is, the Rambam probably agrees with this. You know why the Rambam didn't count it separately? Even despite his comments in Ma'aser Karbonos, where he only mentions the Kohanim, he doesn't mention the Yisraelim, and despite the fact that he doesn't count it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam didn't count it probably because the Rambam feels it's part and parcel of the mitzvah itself, of separating Ma'aser Sheni is eating Ma'aser Sheni. So bringing the carbon is eating the carbon. It's not a separate mitzvah to eat it, because nothing unique happens when you eat it. It's just the culmination of bringing the carbon. The difference is, by Kohanim eating, that achieves an atonement. And if you bring a carbon and the Kohen does not eat it, you don't get your atonement. So something unique happens, something secondary, something else, something distinct happens when the Kohen eats the carbon. It brings about a kapara, so the Rambam counts it separately. He mentions it separately. Here, eating the carbon is kind of like, following through, right? On your swing. That's the way you do it, if you want to be successful. But it's not that it achieves anything different. So Rambam writes, because Rambam writes over here, say for a mitzvah, say pay tes. He says, "Vachilasan gam kein he negreres achar hamitzvah." The Rambam says, "I'm not going to count eating these things: truma, ma'aser sheni, karbanos." V'chein gam kein hatruma hine achilasan negreres achar hamitzvah. This is part of the mitzvah of separating truma is eating it. Avo ein achilas kachim kalim
those karbanos were part of it goes to the owner of the karban, or part of it goes to the kohen, but it doesn't achieve an atonement, I'm not going to count these as separate mitzvahs. Kamo achilas basar chatas va'ashem, as opposed to a chatas, a sin offering or a guilt offering. Because those bring about some new change. Shachilas habasar hazem and achatas min ha'ashem ba'atishalim kaparas ha'miskaper. That, you know, brings about an atonement. That's unique. If you don't eat it, you don't get the atonement, no matter even if you brought the karban. You got to eat it. So therefore, the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. Ma'ashelo ba'lo b'kachim kalim v'lo b'truma. There's nothing unique that happens when you eat these things. U'lefikach hi nigreres b'mitzvah v'ocha osa osa mitzvah. If you do it, you get a mitzvah, but it's not counted as a unique and distinct and separate individual independent mitzvah because nothing unique happens other than completing the mitzvah of bringing the karban. So Rambam lumped it together with, you know, bringing the karban. But is it in fact a mitzvah, even if it's not counted in the minyan mitzvahs? Yes, it is a mitzvah. The Rambam assures us it is a mitzvah, just like the Ramban told us. Even though I'm not going to count it separately because nothing separate happened, it is indeed a mitzvah. Okay, so according to the Rambam and the Ramban, can a Jew at the time of the Beis HaMikdash be a vegetarian? Doesn't sound like it. He's got to eat Basara Karbonos. Now, I'm not dealing with the Midrashim now that all of the Karbonos will be Batel, Lasid Lavo, because, you know, only the Karbon Toda will remain, and Pesach and Sukkot will all be gone, Lasid Lavo, and all we'll have is Purim. You know, I'm not dealing with those Midrashim. But, all intents and purposes, Bismacha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, yeah, Mehera, Yibana HaMikdash, we'll all have to eat Basara Karbonos, despite your personal preferences and sensitivities. A person will have to eat Basara Karbonos. Okay, but what about Bismanenu? Is there ever an obligation to eat meat? Someone mentioned already that perhaps on Yontif, there's such an obligation. Where did this come from? It comes from the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim. Says the Gemara, Kuf Tesimet Alav, over here, Tana Rabbanan, Oyscheis. Chayv Adam Usameach Banav Uvnei Vesa Berego. Person is obligated to make sure that his family and those who live in his household are happy on Yontif. Shenamar B'Samach B'Chagecha, as the Pasuk says in connection with Sukkot. Samach B'Chagecha V'Yisa Ach Sameach. B'Mem B'Samcham, how you make them happy? B'Yayin, wine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anashim B'Roi Lehem, Anashim B'Roi Lehem. Now, every demographic has its own things that they prefer. Right? The men might like the wine. Anashim B'Roi Lehem B'Yayin, men like fine wine. Anashim B'Mai, what do the women like? Tana Rabbi Yosef, B'Bavel, B'Bigdei Tzavonim. In Bavel, they like clothing, right? Some things never change. B'Eretz Yisrael, B'Bigdei Pishon V'Guhotzin. In Eretz Yisrael, they like flax clothing that is stiff. In Bavel, they like colorful clothing, different styles, different places of the world. All right, so you have to buy them clothing. That's what they enjoy. Okay, so everybody, every demographic, with the things that they enjoy. Children, presumably, with board games or something else that they enjoy. Fine. But then the Gemara goes on to quote a different bride. Satanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. No, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Vesamachta b'chagecha b'zman shebeis hamikdash kaim ein simcha ala b'basar? The only way to fulfill simcha b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim is with Basara Karbonos. Shenemar v'zavachta shlomim v'chalta sham v'samachta v'fnei Hashem aleikecha. You should bring Karbonos and eat it there in the place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded you. So, okay, when did we say all these distinctions? Every demographic gets its own thing, which is special to them. When there's no Beis HaMikdash. When there is a Beis HaMikdash, how do you fulfill Simcha? Only with Basar HaKarbonos. And that's how the Rambam paskins. Look, the Rambam provides in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Chagiga, Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, HaSimcha Mura B'Regalim, well, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif? Instead of just bringing the karbonos of every yontif, they would bring what was known as shalmei simcha. And those shalmei simcha, you would eat meat, which was a voluntary karbon. And every yontif, you would bring those karbonos and eat the meat in Yerushalayim. And through that, you would fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yontif by eating besar karbonos in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What could possibly be greater than that? Okay, that's how you fulfill Simcha. It says the Rambam, Perek Vav, Vilchus Yom Tov Ochel Yitzayin, what about today, that we no longer have Karbonos? Af al pi she Simcha Murakan hu Karbon Shlomim, kamo shanu mevarim beHilchus Chagiga. The Rambam says, really, the mitzvah of Simcha Yom Tov is fulfilled by bringing Karbonos in Yerushalayim. Yesh bechlau ois Simcha l'smeach hu ubanav uvnei veis ha'koyach ha'koroilo. There's a mitzvah of Simcha nowadays when we no longer have Besara Kabanas, that you give every demographic that which they enjoy. Ketzad, Hakatanim Nosum Hem Kaloyas, Egoiz and Migdanos. Children, what do you give them? Nuts to play with. That doesn't work anymore. That has changed. Can't give the children nuts anymore. But Kaloyas, Egoiz and Migdanos, you have to up our game on that. Hanoshim Kanisram, Begodim, Tashitim, Noam, Gifim, Amino, you have to buy your wife something nice for Yontif. Begodim. The men eat meat and drink wine. That's the Gemara Pesachim. Bizman Shabbat Hamikdash Kaim is Besara Karbonos. When there's no longer Beis Hamikdash, every demographic gets something that makes them happy. So Rambam says that's how you fulfill Simcha Bizman Hazeh. What's the problem? Is this a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan? However, we usually don't have mitzvahs that change, right? What is the mitzvah? Or I ask you, what is the definition of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? What is it? What is it? Is it eating Besara Karbonos? If the mitzvah is eating Besara Karbonos, how did it become something else when there's no Beis HaMikdash? What does that usually mean? Right? Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Lulav was only Nito B'Mikdash Kol Sheva. They only took the Lulav in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days. You only take the lulav on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash on the first day. Nowadays, we all take the lulav on all 7 days. What is that? Is that a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan? Din d'rabbanan. Zeichel HaMikdash. Right? So, how did the mitzvah change over here? The mitzvah was eating Besara Karbonos. Nowadays, we don't have a Besara Karbonos. Every demographic gets something that makes them happy. How did the mitzvah change? It was eating Besara Karbonos. So, have a look over here. That leads Taisus to suggest the Simchas HaRegel nowadays is only Midrabanan. How could the mitzvah change? It's very compelling. Because the Gemara says, Maseches Ma'akan, over here, Ayesed Aleph. The Gemara is discussing whether a person who loses a relative, Lo Aleinu, on Yontif has to observe Avelus. Because Avelus is a contradiction to Simchas Yontif. How can you be happy if you're sad because you're an Avel? So the Gemara says, Avel Eino Noeg Avelusa Beregel. There's no Avelos on Yontif, and in fact, the Rego, of course, as we know, cancels the Avelos. Not only do the two can the two coexist, but in fact, the Rego is Mevatel, the Avelos. Gets rid of the Shiva, gets rid of the Shalashim, it's over. Shenema v'samachta b'chagecha, you have to be happy on Yontif. Sigmar says, why did we do that? Why did we say that Yontif trumps Avelos? Why don't we say Avelos trumps Yontif? So the Gemara says, "I avelus to meikara havi asay, who asi asay the rabban v'dochi asay the yochid." Why? Why does Yontif trump avelus? Because Yontif applies to everybody. Avelus is a personal event, and that which applies to everybody, everybody's happy, and Yontif overrides that, eclipses my personal tzaros, my personal situation predicament. Is overrode, is negligible in the face of an asay derabim. So the asay derabim, that which applies to everybody, eclipses, it overrides the asay deyachid. Okay, so regel trumps avelos. Why? Because regel applies to everybody, avelos is only derabanan. Taisus asks Akasha. Taisus says, 1 minute. Avelos is deraisa. Why do we say asi avelos deraisa? I'm sorry, Simchas Yontif is Deiraisa, Avelus is only Derabanan. So he says, Mashmad Avelus Ika Sei Deiraisa. It sounds like for me Avelus is Deiraisa, just like Simchas HaRegel, which was a Chiddush. We Paskin, to Machlekes, big Machlekes, we show him in Hilchos Avelus. Is Avelus Deiraisa or is Avelus Derabanan? When we say Avelus is Deiraisa, it doesn't mean all Shiva, doesn't mean not wearing shoes or anything. The first day of Avelus, if it's the same day that the person died and the same day that he's buried, is a big machlekes rishonim. Is that deraisa? Is that the rabbanan? The shitas hatoisus is throughout the Rambam and the Rif Pazin is deraisa. The shitas hatoisus is that it's only the rabbanan. So Tosfos says, Adrabba, why is it that Simchas HaRegel trumps Avelus? Because one is the community and one is an individual, and the community trumps the individual. Say, because Simchas HaRegel is deraisa and Avelus is all the rabbanan. And a deraisa should trump a derabanan. We could have had an easier answer. So Tosfos says, "Miu nirali the Simchas HaRegel, nami the Rabbanan. Simchas HaRegel in our times is also the Rabbanan. It has to be the Rabbanan," says Tosfos. Why? V'Simchas Hainu b'Shalmei Simcha. Because how do you fulfill real Simcha Deiraisa? Eating Karbonos. We don't have any more Karbonos. So Shtel Zichvor, as they say, we can derive from here that all of Simchas HaRegel nowadays, with the nuts and the dresses and the meat and the wine, is only the Rabbanan. Makes sense. How could the mitzvah change? The problem is, the Rambam seems to say it's Deraisa. The Rambam said, Afa Pisha Simcha Murakani Karban Shlamim, even though Bismash Beis HaMikdash Kayim is Karban Shlamim, nowadays we fulfill the mitzvah Midaraisa with other things. How'd it be? How could the mitzvah change? Sounds like nowadays the bus of a yayin. So according to Tosfos, the bus of a yayin is only din de rabbanon. According to the Rambam, it's a din de raisa. How could the mitzvah change? It was b'sar kabonis, and now it's what? It's a brisket, you know, and a merlot. How'd that happen? So Chaim explains. It's quoted here in the Sefer Emek Barucha. Rav Soloveitchik had a whole yardside drasha about this, where he gave it a somewhat of a different terminology. Look over here, two lines from the bottom of the Emek Barucha. That's Rabbi Pomeranchik, one of the Talmidim of the Brisker Rabbi. He quotes it from Reb Chaim. He says, "Hinei hode ein simcha el babas of yayin ubigdei tzivayinim." Nowadays, that we fulfill simcha with the meat and wine and clothing. Rabbi mekayim bazeh ikar mitzvah simcha. It doesn't mean that that's the formal action or the formal activity through which you fulfill the mitzvah. The chiyu dvarim elu eino elu mishum sheheim ma'oririm l'simcha. It arouses a certain mindset, right? A certain mentality, a certain experience. And it's that experience of being happy that's the mitzvah. So that experience could be triggered through Besar Kabanos in Yerushalayim and having a religious, intimacy with the Ribono Shel Olam. Or, in our times, we have to try and trigger that same experience through other, more superficial methods of eating meat and wine, brisket and merlot. Right? That doesn't mean that the brisket and merlot became a lulav and an esrog and a sukkah. It's not a cheft of a mitzvah. They are a hechatimsa, a mechanism, a trigger for the mindset, for the experience, for the emotion of being happy. That's the mitzvah. The Rav described it as a simcha belev. So that's how the mitzvah changed. The mitzvah, or we need to rephrase, the mitzvah didn't change. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we trigger that emotion of simcha belev, of being happy, through Besar Kabanos. That's the most potent trigger for this experience and this this emotion. But in our times, we have to recreate it through more artificial means, through Basar, through Yayin. But again, the experience for the Rambam is still a din midaraisa. So that's why the Rambam feels, even though the way we go about producing this emotion has changed, the mitzvah continues to be a mitzvah midaraisa of Simchas Yontif. So according to the Rambam, there seems to be a mitzvah in our times to eat meat and drink wine midaraisa. According to Tosfos, it's midarabanan. Yeah, but the problem is, according to the Rambam, we could argue, why is it you have to eat basar v'yayin, as we explained? It's not because the mitzvah is basar v'yayin, like an esrog and a lulav and matzah and dalad kaisis. It's because it triggers a certain emotion. What about a guy who hates meat? The only emotion it triggers is disgust and nausea. So then, is there still a mitzvah to eat meat and drink wine? Shagas Aryeh says maybe not. The whole purpose is to trigger a certain experience. This doesn't trigger the positive experience that you're looking for. So maybe there's no mitzvah anymore. Or maybe if I could trigger that experience through sea bass and fresh coffee or something, So then I'm much happier. So then maybe that's that would be better. Aside from the fact that Beis Yosef already asked in the Rambam, it's a little bit different than the Gemara. The Gemara said, "Hey, nowadays is only a mitzvah with wine. Ain simcha lebiyayin." The Rambam added basar. So Beis Yosef says, "Yeshu t'mua la Rambam lama hitzok sheyochlu basar v'yishtu yayin." Where did the Rambam get the basar from? The wine, I got it. He got it from the Gemara. Dabar b'risa katani d'ubzan azay ain simcha lebiyayin. So wine we got. That's everyone. Kuli amalo pligi nowadays. You got to drink wine on Yontif. Maybe every day of Yontif. Big machlek sapayis. Do you have to drink wine every day of Yontif? Only once throughout Yontif? If Shechta suggests the difference between Sukkot and Pesach. Sukkot, where we have a different halal, right? We have different karbanos every day. That's why we say halal shalem. That's why the kriyas haTorah is different every day of Sukkot. So then the new simcha every day. So you have to have wine every day of Sukkot. Pesach If we only say halal, chatzi halal, because they didn't bring new karbonis every day, so then it's one time throughout Yom Tov. Okay, fine. Well, could distinguish, you know, argue with that distinction. Maybe it's every day on both Yom Tov. Okay, but you have to drink wine. Meat, according to the Rambam as well. But again, the Beis Yosef disagreed about the meat, and that's only because it triggers a certain experience. What if, you know, after 3 days of eating meat and fleishiks, you know, twice a day, by night and by morning, by night and by morning, by night and by morning, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, I have a, you know, tziyotze, you know, it's coming out of our noses and our ears, the bas of a yayin. So then already, maybe one can make the good argument that maybe we could have one milchik meal, like on Shavuos. Maybe it's kedai, the person could fulfill Simchas Yantif with one milchik meal. Because you can fulfill it. Again, it's what triggers that experience. Here, I'm nauseous from the bas of a yayin already. So then maybe one could argue, like the Shagas Aryeh says, that according to the Rambam, the whole purpose is to trigger an experience. That experience is not getting, that emotion is not being triggered here by eating more meat and wine. Maybe I need something else. At the same time, I think that we have to be intellectually honest. You can't have a tuna fish sandwich or macaroni and cheese and say, you know, cereal and say, that's Simchas Yantif. No, it has to be a recovered meal. So sometimes people enjoy milchiks. Okay, it's got to be a chashuv meal on Yantif. You can't fulfill Simchas Yantif. No one goes out and orders, orders a, yeah, for a fancy meal. You wouldn't do that. You would get something nicer. So you can't mail it in for a meal on Yantif, but if you want to have fancy milchiks, I think that's according to the Shagas Aryeh, that would be appropriate. Well, let's say a bris. However, you know, bris, you also have to be, you have to have a suda at a bris, because the Pasuk says Avram Avinu made a suda on the day, b'yom higomel as Yitzchak, when he weaned Yitzchak. So you have to make a suda at the time of a bris. And there's simcha. You have to be happy at a Suda's bris milah, because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, "Sasa noich alim rasecha, k'maytze shalom rav." I'm so happy about that. You know, your teachings, like a person who found a great treasure. And the Pasuk Gemara says in Masechta the Shabbos, that's regarding milah. "Sasa noich alim rasecha, k'maytze shalom rav." So you have to be happy at a bris milah. That's why Rav Shechter always recommends to make flesh extend at a bris. You have to be happy. The Rambam says you need bas of yayin whenever there's a chiyuv simcha. So real Rav Shechter Talmidim will have a plate of, my brother-in-law always used to do this, have a plate of a deli, a fleishik bris. The problem is it's at 6 o'clock. You know? In Eretz Yisrael, they do it. But there, a bris is at 10:30, 11 o'clock. They don't make brisin so early. And people are used to eating cholent and kishka at 10:30, 11 o'clock Shabbos morning. So too, you have it on Tuesday, 10:30, 11 o'clock, have fleishik, so marash. In America, people, this is almost like, ugh, yeah, just start serving chulin bowls at bris at 6:30. So I don't think anybody's interested in that. So then I don't think the whole thing is in order to trigger a certain experience, a certain emotion. I don't know if we necessarily need to push for the fleishiks by the bris. But the whole thing is to create a certain emotion, a certain experience. So maybe we could do without it. Okay, we have to finish one other nakuda about this though. So do we have a mitzvah to eat meat or not? We have a heter to eat meat from the time of Noach. So we perhaps do have a mitzvah to eat meat. Certainly b'sar karbonis. And what's modeled after that is Simchas Yantif. And Yantif, there might be, for most people, I think most people still enjoy fleishiks and wine. Still the most popular thing on the menu at the steakhouses is the filet. Hasn't outpaced the sea bass. So that's still a lot of meat and potatoes people out there. But if a person really doesn't eat it, he doesn't enjoy it, let's say. He doesn't enjoy it, so then there might not necessarily be an obligation to eat it on Yantav. He could eat those things that he enjoys. But we have to discuss the Mishnah tomorrow. We'll finish up with the Hashkafa of vegetarianism. Then we'll move on. Okay, Chanukah.